Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to remember those who've transgressed against the great spirit of inclusion and must henceforth be forever cast into the abyss of dead names. In this moment of our remembrance, we prove with great grief and wailing the sincerity of our noble tolerance. What we once wrongly allowed in the ignorance of white privilege has become the cleansing rite of virtue signaling we use to prove our purity. Join with me now as we remember those we've lost. First, Ricky Gervais. After Netflix aired his most recent comedy special, Supernature, in which he unapologetically makes numerous anti-transgender jokes, clearly implying that he did not learn the lesson we sought to teach all comedians through our harassment of Dave Chappelle. Now, some parishioners have asked me whether I have personally seen the offending performance. Most certainly not. First of all, I don't need to expose myself to that sort of hatred and animosity directly. I have far more important work to do practicing my abortion rights rally chants and perfecting my look of woundedness. Second, I don't need to watch it myself since the most devoted and holy people of the acronym have already endured the pain for me and labeled it as multiphobic class 3. As you know, we are proud allies of the people of the acronym, and if they say Ricky Gervais must go, then Ricky Gervais must go. As Filippo's fifth axiom of submission teaches us, there is no need to waste time thinking for yourself if the right people have already done your thinking for you. Also, as we've learned from St. Aldous Huxley, 62,400 repetitions make something true. Therefore, it is my duty to simply repeat what I have heard, as if it is my own opinion, so that our enemies are driven into their acronymophobic closets by the crushing weight of societal disapproval. We want them uncertain, timid, and afraid. And if that means sometimes punishing even those who haven't actually uttered the forbidden word, so be it. We excommunicate Ricky Gervais for allowing himself to even seem to be anti-trans. The appearance is enough. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend!
Second, Walmart. For their clumsy, foolish, self-serving, and egregiously white decision to sell Celebration Edition Juneteenth ice cream under the Great Value generic brand. Now look, we understand that some people will think that the old white men of Walmart were trying to do a good thing by validating our movement and the history of blacks in America, but this is never enough. Of course we understand that many white people want to co-opt the holiday, but we must not let this happen because if Juneteenth goes mainstream, then it no longer serves as a way to make white people feel guilty and therefore compliant. Even worse, if white people embrace Juneteenth, as so many have, it actually makes them feel like they've done something useful for racial equity, which is exactly the opposite of our goal. We must make sure they never feel like they can do enough, as if they're always at risk of being criticized for anything they do, precisely because that's how we break the whiteocracy at the heart of America. Just like the comedians, we want them uncertain at all times, and even though they might try to virtue signal their multiracialism, we must never allow them to assuage their white guilt in this way. Now yes, we admit that red velvet cheesecake ice cream sounds delicious, but be not deceived, brethren and sistren and otherin. This is the corporate machine exploiting our dear friends of color for filthy profit only, as they always have. Thus, on the first count of committing whiteness in the third degree, our verdict is guilty. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And finally, a word of praise for the diligent apostles of wokeness in Russell, Ontario. This week, the township of Russell underwent a rigorous self-examination after it was revealed that their town was named for Peter Russell, a local politician who owned four slaves in the late 18th century. Oh, dear friends, can you imagine the shame of realizing you've lived in a town with such a stain on its lineage? Used that name without thinking about it? Well, as you might expect, felt it they did, and deeply. That's why they immediately moved to change the name of the town to something less hideous and more enlightened. But how would a name change affect all the businesses and community landmarks and road signs of Russell? Of course, cost is no concern when we're bending the arc of the moral universe towards justice, but still, you can certainly feel the struggle. That's why their solution was so wonderfully elegant. After considering a variety of possible name alternatives, they finally chose to rename the town of Russell, Ontario to Russell, Ontario. Only this time the namesake wouldn't be a long-deceased and forgotten early American racist, but instead would be all the Russells who are good citizens of the world. What was once a reminder of the injustice of the past has become a wonderful embrace of the dignity of the person, without even changing a single stamp, street sign, or sheet of letterhead. So beautiful, so liberating, so Russell-esque. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.
And now, with these cleansing rites performed, may we all go forth in loving tolerance and microaggress no more. Woe unto all who offend.
Woe unto all who offend.